The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. I'm sharing from my devotions from today. I think you're going to love it. It's really cool. Plus, is there more to see in our pursuit of our faith? And sometimes we cry, but for the wrong reasons.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. We do have trivia. You have the opportunity to share any praise reports or ask for any prayer requests. We're totally open to that. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Man, there is so much to tell you. I am just freaking out. But first, we will start by acknowledging our very good friend Clint and our good friends at Mr. Restore.
Come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right.
Fire and smoke damage cleanup, any kind of water damage that takes place that you need help, sewage cleanup, sewage removal, wind, flood, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you've got a problem, they got an answer. It's just that simple. If you have a problem, they have an answer. In regards to restoration services, they are there for you. Now, Mr. Restore is committed with thousands of happy customers. You get that kind of reputation. You not only do you want to maintain it, you feel an obligation and almost a ministry pull to make sure your name is stellar. Additionally, I've mentioned to you before that they're connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is an excellent foundation of which my wife and I are now supporters of because we think it's just a great, great idea. And so we give some of our money, some of our tithe, some of our dollars in that direction. They're not a ton. Okay, it's not the widow woman, but it ain't the rich guy. So I'm just saying somewhere between the two mites and the 2 trillion mites is, it's kind of where it goes. And we just think it's a great idea. And we love that Clint is really committed to this process where they're working with people who have limbs that have been severed, 1, 2, 3, and 4 limbs that have been severed. And most of these people in service, and they give them hope. Give them truth, guide them in the right direction. But it's tough. It's a tough journey, but they're willing to bring people in. They don't charge them anything. It's such a cool thing. But Mr. Restore is big behind this. Clint is one of the operating officers. He doesn't get any money for that. He just helps them out because he's a cool guy. If you got something going on in your home that needs help from Mr. Restore, when you get connected to them, you know you're connecting to the Adaptive Training Foundation. That's MrRestore.com. MrRestore.com. We just want to thank them for the support they've given us and the confidence they've given us. People that are wanting to know, do you have other sponsors that are coming back on and so on and so forth? Yes. And new ones, but we're working it, and I've changed the entire structure of our show, and you're just thinking, what'd you do now?
That's my. I think that's what my wife says.
What'd you do now? And I just really feel like the Lord wants me to bring the challenge to each one of our sponsors, saying you give what you are comfortable with, no matter what the package is. I don't care if you get the premium package and pay the lowest price. Don't care. It's whatever the Lord leads you. As long as they're doing it and being led by the Lord in partnership, I know you're not supposed to do that because you're not supposed to really mix business and ministry and all this stuff in one big swirly pot. Too bad. I don't care what you're supposed to do. Do you? You follow Jesus Christ. The world already hates you. Do you want to do this right or not? That's it. And the answer is, yeah, I want to do this right. And I think you do too. That's just my disposition on that. And if that's really offensive to somebody, oops. Because I'm not apologizing, so I'll give you an oops. Quickly, I will tell you today, for those that don't know, I don't know if Tierra knows this. By the way, has done a fantastic job over the last couple of days. Let me give you a hand clap there. Yay! Hey, hey, hey. All right, do you know what a couple of holidays it is?
If it's not Christmas, I don't know.
Okay. What a great answer that was. First of all, it's Wear Brown Shoes Day, which I don't even know what that is because I don't have a pair of brown shoes. So I don't even know what that means. Also, it's National Sock Day, which I can appreciate that. That's not so bad. It's National Cookie Day. Okay, so that's good. I mean, is that good? I think cookies.
I think cookies is good.
Yeah.
I wish I would have worn my socks and my brown boots, but, you know, I would have got everything for the holiday, the national day.
All right. Here's the last one that lots of people don't know about. I want to tell you this one. This is one that's going to catch you off guard. Ready? It's International Cheetah Day. Now, the only reason that even means anything, International Cheetah Day, is there's a great joke with Noah. That's the only reason it means anything to me. Don't get mad about that. So what animal didn't Noah trust? The cheetah. Get it? Get it? Uh-huh. That's right. Nothing gets by me on this show. It's all in one ear, out the other. I will tell you, on this day in 1619, actually 38 colonists arrived in Virginia and gave thanks to God, considering by many to actually technically be the first Thanksgiving. But there's some argument. Whatever. In 1783, on this day, United States General George Washington formally bids his officers farewell. And for those that are into waves and surfing and stuff, in 1969, surfer Greg Knoll rode a 65-foot wave. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Just no. Not happening. All right, so let's throw out our first trivia question. A lot of people are, I love trivia. I love it when we get money. Well, I appreciate that, but not everything's for money. Sometimes it's just to keep us active in the Word, right? That's an important part of it. Name King David's father. There you go. Not tough. Not that difficult. 972-445-0770. Name King David's father. If you're looking for money from this time, I'm broke. I got two grandkids that are living with us full time for the next additionally 10 days. So if you're sitting there thinking, I want sympathy, you're not getting any from me. That ain't happening. If you can name King David's father, you want to give us a call and let us know what you think the name is. While we go into that, I want to get right into the teaching part of this. This is from my devotions today. Sometimes when I do my devotions, they are so lively, I want to share them. And this is the format that God has given me to share them, so that's what I'm doing. In John chapter 20, verse 11, it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb. Now, remember, this is just after the story with Peter and John, and they were running to the tomb. And I don't know that it's a compliment or not, but, you know, Peter and John were running to the tomb, and the scripture teaches us that Peter was outran by John. In other words, John was faster. Okay, but then John stopped, but Peter went in. You know what I'm saying? He went all the way in. And now this is right after that. And then the disciple, after he reached the tomb, then he also went in. He believed. That's exciting. And now they're going to go home, and he's going to share that with Jesus' mom. That's cool stuff. Here's what happens next. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. The way that the plots were is, you know, the way that the graves were is you had to actually step down and then you would look in a hole and it would actually be another 4 or 5 feet below. So you had to kind of look in and stoop in there. And that's really important to understand that, because after we take our caller, I'm going to tell you something that Mary did that a lot of us may have missed. And this is Mary Magdalene. But let's hang on and get the answer first. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Mary Lou again.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, bless. I pulled over to the side of the road to answer. It's Jesse.
That is correct. You are right. Excellent. You pulled over to the side of the road. I got to share with you. That is so funny. I had this wonderful gal that called in one time, and she was driving and answering, and then because she was talking on her phone in California, she got a ticket. But then she told the officer she was
tickets.
Listening. She,
I don't want any tickets.
Yeah,
so
no, of course not.
Use my phone. I get off the road.
There you go. And you know what? She told the officer what she was doing and what was going on, and he let her off. Gave her a warning. Ah. That's the way to do it, right? But yes, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you did that. Safe. You are 100% correct. And that just shows me you knew instantly, didn't you? I mean, you just knew.
Yes. Yep,
I know who that is.
Yes.
Excellent job.
I love being in my word every day.
Awesome. And you did a great job sharing that with everybody, and I appreciate it.
All right. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, here's something I want you to catch about Mary Magdalene that you might not have known. In verse 11, I want to make sure you understand what it says. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and I'm going to get to this crying part in the next segment. It's very fascinating because you're going to find out something about that. And as she wept, she stooped and she looked in. I want you to catch something. I know it's a little thing, but these are the little things that make a big difference in a walk. She was already a believer in Jesus. Okay? She already believed in Jesus. She believed he was the Messiah, all right? But after she was crying, you know what she did? She looked in, and she looked in to go a little deeper, to look a little bit more, to say, what is going on here? I mean, my Lord's supposed to be dead, and what's going on? And so she looks in, and the reason that I bring that up is when I read stuff like that, I think, you see, she was a believer at that moment, but she didn't fully understand all of the miracle power of God. She didn't fully understand everything that was going to take place. She didn't get the fullness of the plan. Here's what she did get. Jesus healed people. Jesus blessed people. Jesus strengthened people. She saw it. She participated. She thought it's cool. She never did. But guess what? There was more. And that's what caught Mary. She stooped and looked in like, what? Wait, just a sec. What? Wait. Even her just looking in is a moment of human curiosity of, wait, is there something else there? Is this not everything I thought it was? And that is the answer. The answer is yes. Stooping in and looking was her looking just a little deeper, just a little further, just a little more exploratory to find out there's a whole new dynamic that's about to be exposed to her. And that's Jesus being raised from the dead and, by the way, getting ready to talk to her. Oh, man. Didn't you just want to be there? I want to be like a gopher going, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. Where's the next nut? All right, here we go. We're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We want to let you know, and that is not a slight on other stations. It's just an identifying marker. So everybody take a deep breath. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website davidspoonmedia.com. We do accept donations. Why? Because we need them. Facebook, David Spoon Media, and YouTube, David Spoon Media. Like how I did that financial ask in like 1 millisecond? That's pretty fast, wasn't it? Oh, to the Lord that all the preachers that ask for money would do it that fast. And give. Okay, next. I went to one church, the giving prep was longer than the sermon. It was just like, guess where I'm not giving? That's all I got for you. It's like, not that, you just went the wrong direction for me. I cannot help you. We are going to do the trivia. By the way, that the music, livinginhisgrip.com, is free under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N project. Oh, I'm just blessed today. My son it's his birthday. See, he's 36 years old. It's hard to believe I have a 36-year-old child. It's just really weird. We're still watching the grandkids, and I think we'll be doing that for about the next 9 or 10 days. So you know what to pray for. Pray that Dave's brain stays inside his head. It's pretty funny when a 2-year-old, you know, you look at a 2-year-old and say, okay, are you hungry? No? No? It's like, okay, I'm hungry. Like, okay, see, no, and then I'm hungry. I just wonder if the Lord, well, it might be some similar thing there. I haven't figured that out. All right, let's do the next trivia question. I'm going to give you a chance. We've never done this in the trivia before, so it's going to be kind of a weird kind of way to do it. So, but I have full confidence in Tiara because she's terrific, by the way. That's why. Because you're terrific. How about that?
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'll give you the $1.50 later. Here it is. Which, now watch this. So there's two questions here. So if you remember, Jesus entered a particular city, and there was this short guy named Zacchaeus who wanted to see him. So I'm going to ask you to answer one of two questions. So in order to do that, he had to climb a tree. What kind of tree or what city did it happen in? Ooh, so you actually have two. You can go either direction. If you know both, that's great. But it's either way. What kind of tree and what city? All right? Okay. That's all I'm giving. Oh, number 972-445-0770. So you can answer one of the two. It's like, okay, Zacchaeus, remember, he was the shorter guy. He was climbing a tree. What kind of tree or what city did it happen in? Those are the two questions. So while I'm doing my devotions, that first little bit, it's just kind of really an intro. Here's the one that just really, you know, sometimes you read scripture and it just leaps. It leaps off the page and just speaks to you. Have you ever gone through that experience? keep in mind that God knows how to write a book. For all those people that are flipping out,
he can't write a book. All those people.
It's like, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. There's nothing complex about that. But as you go through, you find out that sometimes you read and it just breathes upon you. It speaks to you. It encourages you. When we come back from this caller, I'm going to tell you what it said. And it's amazing. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to? Did I get that right? Let's see. Did we get that right? This is David.
Tree, but I don't remember what edible was in, but the sycamore tree.
It's a sycamore tree. That is correct. All right. Good job. So he climbed up the sycamore tree. A little bit easier of a tree to climb, by the way. You're not sure about the city. Let me tell you the city. Ready for the city? This will be just something you can log in there. It was in Jericho.
Okay.
So it was in Jericho that he did the sycamore tree. He climbed up, and he climbed up because he was, the scripture says he was shorter in stature, and he couldn't see over everybody, which you got to think he was a lot shorter in stature in order to have to climb a tree, because that seems like a lot. So excellent answer, my friend. Good job on that. You knew that right away, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. My son on the ticket on Friday after Thanksgiving, they went to the game and they enjoyed the game.
Oh, so glad to hear. That is so cool. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I really appreciate that, brother. And I appreciate you calling in and give us the answer.
Yeah, it was a lot of days I wanted to call you on the answer, but you said hold off if you don't answer the question in 2 or 3 weeks. So I just didn't want to answer, let some other people answer.
You got it. I appreciate that. And we do that. We have a lot of people that call in. Bobby will call in and then Sam will call in. Everybody kind of does a rotation, and they want other people to call in, and I know that. And I appreciate you guys sometimes pulling back and letting other people. It's cool. That's how we got to do it. And until we have 900 people on the phones, that's how it's going to be.
Right.
Bless you, brother. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, and you have a blessed evening.
All right, thank you. All right, good job. Sycamore tree, and is in Jericho, for those that didn't know. Now, watch this. I promise you haven't seen this. I'm telling you. Or if you have, you didn't share it with me, and then I'm mad at you. So figure this out. So let's go back up to that thing. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. Now stop. See, what you got to do in Scripture is don't just read it and then buzz through it like a buzzsaw. Take your time. Relax. You know, and the word is so powerful. It's alive. It's living. It's able to minister to you on a consistent basis because it's the breath of God. The same breath that went into Adam went into the scripture. Remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God breathed. What happened when God breathed into Adam? Oh, okay. Got it. All right, here we go. Mary's standing outside the tomb. There's two angels. One is at the head and the other is at the foot. The best thing that people can come up with is they were preserving the scene so that nobody could think that somebody stole the body or something like that. That's maybe, I mean, I don't know. The Lord didn't say the reason why, but you can assess they were in some mode of protection or something. But listen to what they said to Mary. "Why are you crying?" Now listen to her response. "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him." Guess what? She was wrong. Now, wait, I want you to get this. There's nothing wrong with crying. I do it on a regular basis. In fact, my wife calls it whining or something like that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. She was crying because she assumed that they had stolen the body of Christ, right? But she was wrong. And in fact, further in the text, you find out that Jesus also says, "Why are you crying?" So there's the same question twice. There was no loss of the body of Jesus Christ, and it was not what she thought it was. But what she thought it was made her cry. You can understand that somebody taking the body of Christ, and you could understand that's her Lord. She, you know, had deliverance from him. Mary Magdalene's very fond of Jesus. All that's great, but she was wrong. So she wept And if you think about why the angel, it's not that what she, it wasn't that she was wrong in her emotional response of, you know, oh, I'm very upset because somebody stole the body of the Lord. She would be upset about it. But what they were saying is, but that's not what happened. And in her mind, that's what happened. She was crying and that was sad. But the truth is, that's not what happened. And she didn't have to cry and she didn't need to be sad. And in fact, she was about to be ecstatic. So instead of this crying mode in this, oh, woe is me, she was about to go, what? Because in a moment, she's going to talk to Jesus, and I'll just say this part right now because it's definitely worth saying. She actually – so Jesus asks her, who are you looking for? This is in verse 15. She thought he was the gardener. So we'll get in that later. Sir, she said, if you've taken away, tell me where you put him, and I will go and get him. See, that's typical for you and I, and you should feel very confident in your faith because, see, Jesus does something and shows up, and we think it's the gardener. We don't know what's going on. it's nothing unusual to me. It's like that's, yeah, the Lord does something, I go, because that's what I do. And I think you do that too. If you're just going to be a little honest, don't, you know, when you're listening to this show, you know, I try to give it to you. It's like, this is, it's what it is. It's like you go through it. And you're honest with God about it because he knows what you're hiding behind that emotional, spiritual fake front sometimes. You might as well just tell him, okay, well, this is what's going on. And so she's in there, and she's thinking he's the gardener, so she's got the wrong concept. And some people are saying, well, the light wasn't good. It's like, I don't know if the light was good. How do I know? It was early in the morning. It was dark. I understand that, but I don't know. I don't know that the light – it was bad lighting. Here's what I know. This is what the scripture tells me. She was crying because she thought Jesus' body was stolen, and it wasn't. So she didn't need to be crying. That's the whole point. Sometimes you got to wait. There are things that you can weep for, and there's nothing wrong with weeping. But sometimes to get the truth of the situation, you have to wait and see as it reveals. And eventually, even though you think Jesus is the gardener, he shows up and shows you it's him. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. Tell you the coolest part of the whole thing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 77, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor. Now, I use that word with some reservation. Having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, Now, this goes with this. All three of these things go together. Any person who's in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know if you want to reach the show.
That's a really good show.
You can send an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. And also, we've got a new receiver. So if you put one hand on your nose and one hand on your ear and go, David, I might be able to hear you. I just want to make sure if you know, you got to do it in a really low voice. And then make sure you're doing it in front of somebody just so that you can make sure that it's as goofy as it can be. Okay. We will do our trivia in a split second. I do want to let you know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach a little further down on a text, and then I'm going to, at the end of the show, I'm going to come back up because there's something I'm going to share in the next segment. It is the greatest text that there is in the whole Bible in regards to the resurrection. It's not one that you'll typically hear. So we're gonna teach past it and then come back up to it, if you don't mind. If you mind, I can't do anything. That's kind of how I'm going to do it. So I just really want you to kind of catch that. In the meantime, we have one more trivia question. And so sometimes on these trivia questions, I want to make sure that you get an opportunity. Everybody has the opportunity. Everybody's done a phenomenal job. And by the way, as an audience, you guys are – it's stellar. You guys do a great job, so I appreciate that. Here we go on the trivia question. This is not as hard, but it is nonetheless important for everybody to hear. Judas betrayed Jesus for exactly how many coins of silver? There you go. Judas betrayed Jesus for exactly how many coins of silver? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Okay, so I'm going to teach you something that is, and again, you've heard me say this before, I hope, and I will say it again. So if you're going to church and in your church, you know, your pastor's teaching something different than I, that doesn't make me right and him wrong or him wrong and me right. That's not how that works. You got to process what the Lord brings into your life, and you are responsible for how you're going to process it in. The majority of things that I'll teach are going to go at about a 99 percentile agreement on almost everything across the board. And I'm not kidding. I mean, it is that close. So when you hear me teach something I'm about to teach, you'll understand why and why I said that. Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Lynn.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Doing fine.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. It's good to hear your voice. Let me ask you, sir. I kind of think you know the answer, and you knew the answer right away. And I'm feeling pretty strong about that. So tell me, Judas betrayed Jesus for exactly how many coins of silver?
That would mean 30.
That is correct, sir. You are right. And it's an interesting element, and we can get in some of the discussion. But it's interesting because I'm not positive that Judas knew where it was all going. It didn't matter; he was the son of perdition; it was going to go that way. But I'm not confident that, you know, when he did it, he thought, they're just going to beat this guy to death. I think he was thinking, I'm going to circumvent this and force Jesus to do something, or he was thinking something else. But I don't know if he was just looking for Jesus to get crucified, and that's when he threw that money back and gave it back to them. But that's exactly right, 30 pieces of silver.
Wasn't that the price of a slave?
What's that?
Wasn't that the price you paid for a slave?
Okay, I'm kind of having a hard time, so I'm going to ask you Tira, what if you, she can help me out? Say that again, my brother.
Oh, that's okay. I thought maybe that was also the price and pain for a slave.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think that's right. So you're, and forgive me for not being able to hear you. So it's,
oh, my voice is messed up.
Well, it's not only that, but this equipment is probably even 30, 40 years older than me. So, I mean, I'm just saying. It is what it is. You smile and you laugh and you do it. But excellent job, and thank you for doing that. And thank you for calling in and answering our question.
Yes, sir. Bless you and Merry Christmas.
All right. You too, sir. All right. God bless you. All right, so here you go. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you something now. Careful. No, I say careful is because you'll get it. We have another caller? Okay, are they answering the question or are they just calling in? You can find out. Let me know. Just say, hey, you know. And maybe they're calling. Maybe the Lord gave them the lotto numbers for everybody. It's a joke, right? So my wife said something to me that was really funny. So I have my grandchildren, you know, I have my two-year-old. It's two-year-old and it's like a four-year-old. Well, she's not quite four. But anyway, so what I said was, we're going to do this soon, okay? Soon. And then my wife said, well, you know, it's not really soon. And I said, well, that's not a lie, honey. It's a joke. So anyway, that's what I thought.
The caller was looking for somebody named Rita, so it was a wrong call.
Okay, wrong number. Did you offer her a pizza discount?
I told her, you know, this is a radio station. She said, oh, okay, my bad, and just hung up.
All right. But next time she calls in and she does it again, just say, we do have pepperoni half off. Let's see what happens then.
I'll try that.
All right. So here's the text, that the reason I'm bringing this up. So this is verse 17. Jesus, this is what he said to Mary Magdalene. Don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to the Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. Then she gave him his message, which is, I am ascending to my God, my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. For those that don't know why Jesus said it that way, in John 14:20, Jesus said, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine, and I'm in you and you're in me. So here at the glorified Jesus Christ, he's saying, you got to catch it because it's one of those really cool theological things. He's like, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, making everything that was his ours and what's ours his, kind of connecting. So that's just something to keep in mind for a cool theological thought. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended. So there's a group of, there's a thought, a process of thought, some scholars that believe that Jesus, what he's saying is, you know, don't touch me, because I haven't yet ascended to the Father and I'm still going through my metamorphosis process. I don't see it that way, but I understand why they might think that. I think that don't cling to me is don't cling to me more because of John chapter 7, verse, I think it's verse 39. Let me double check while I'm looking at it. John chapter 7, verse 39 says this, by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Why that's important is because it's not that the Holy Spirit didn't function with the disciples, but the outpouring from Pentecost, the outpouring of Acts chapter 2, is a completely new age for the church, a whole new dynamic. And so what Jesus, I tend to go with the conservative commentators on this, the don't cling to me is, okay, I'm glorified, and that's awesome, but this is not the end. Okay? This is phase one. Phase two is coming when the Holy Spirit gets poured out. So don't cling to me, no hand, because there's more coming, and it's coming through the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to be just me walking around on the planet Earth. It's going to be the Holy Spirit walking around in people's lives who are believers all over the planet. And it's like, so to me, the don't cling to me, I go with a little more of a William Lane Craig mentality. It has a little bit more to do with, and the reason I really key in on that is because he used the phrase ascending, the same Greek word ascended, the two different variants of that word in the same sentence. So he's like really talking about, look, I got to ascend, I got to go, because if I don't go, it's not going to be as good for you. In John 17 and 18, 16 and 17, he says, if I go, it's better. I was like, ooh, okay. So what Jesus is going is, yeah, don't cling to me here now. Now that I'm glorified, now I'm in a new body. That's great. But look, there's more coming. And that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is more than Jesus. So just cut that down and throw that out. Nobody thinks that in the whole universe. Or if they do, there's something wrong with them. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You find out later in this chapter that he gives a commission to every single person. It's given by the Father through the Son, and Jesus says, you will do this by the Spirit. So you got from the Father through the Son by the Spirit formula. In Matthew 28:20, you got a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit formula. All of it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit formula. And for those that don't understand that, I appreciate that, but the 139 references in the New Testament are more than sufficient to take their stand. Here's what I want you to get. What Jesus is saying is, isn't that ministry that we just did great? Isn't all that stuff we did fantastic? Guess what? We're going to blow it out of the water. We're going to pour the Holy Spirit into every believer, and it's going to just change the planet. And in fact, the church changed the planet.
We got climate change. We got this.
Okay, listen to what I'm saying. The church has got all these problems, Dave. So do you. Okay, so what else is new? God still loves you. God still loves the church. The church changed the planet. And the whole, how much did it affect it? I don't know. Most of us do time now by the death and the burial of Christ. It's like our whole time. That's a lot. I don't know anybody else that did that. Changed time. Okay, well, time now we do this way. B.C. A.D. How'd that happen? Jesus is that good. The bottom line is the don't cling to me is, hey, there is something coming that is so powerful, it's going to change everything. So Jesus tells them, hey, tell them I'm ascending. Tell them, you know, then there's this big meeting. And we can talk about the fact that when he did meet with them, the first three public meetings Jesus had with them, he said, peace to you all, peace to you all, peace to you all. Be nice if we just remember that. Instead of struggle and trial and bummerness to you all. Okay, well, that's not what he said. He said, peace, 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 right? But the ministry that Jesus is talking about that's about to come after his ascension is a ministry that God uses you for through the power of the Holy Spirit. Try not to think of all of this in these charismatic Baptist or Pentecostal mindsets. Try to just think of this as the Gospels are writers who talk about encounters with Jesus. And if you think of it in that way and try not to lock yourself in a box, you can enjoy all this stuff a lot more. That's just, you know, that's just my personal kind of approach. But wait until you hear what's next. It will blow you away. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not... completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. This is my favorite thing to do in the whole of the world. In all of the world, in all of its existence, and all the things that I get to do, when I engage with the Word of God and then I get to share it and I get to relive what I did with the Lord in private, it's just like, that's my gold. That's where I live for. That's it, you know. If I could just do nothing but that, it would never get old, never gets tiring. It's, at least not for me. And when I'm feeling down or blue, it's just the one thing that shoots me straight up. It's like, oh, it's the Lord stuff. Like, yes! This section, I think, is... I know it's crazy to say stuff like this, and I always have these dramatic flares, because, yeah, let's face it, I'm a Jewish Christian. Who wouldn't have that? But this text is my absolute favorite Easter resurrection affirmation of the faith text ever. How's that? I mean, is that good? I mean, I cannot stress. And it's two sentences. And I remember the first time I came across this. And every time I read it, I just get so excited. It's so powerful. I want to go back to where Mary... thought that Jesus was the gardener. And we, you know, we talked about Mary kind of stooping in. This is Mary Magdalene. She wanted to get a little more info. She believed in Jesus, but she wanted to see it a little clearer. And maybe there was a little bit more to it. And there was. And she found that out. And then we talked about the angel saying to her, and even Jesus said to her, hey, why are you crying? And she was crying. It was legitimate that she was crying, but it just wasn't right. In other words, it's not wrong to have emotions, but sometimes they're so overwhelming and the situation looks one way and it's not. So she thought they stole the body. They didn't. That's all I'm trying to say. So it's like, yeah, okay, you didn't. It wasn't as dramatic. And then she was going to find out how fantastic everything was. And then towards the end, she's given a message to tell the disciples, hey, I'm going to be ascending, and man, it's going to rock and roll, so don't cling to me here. We got a lot of stuff going on. But before that happened, there was this one-sentence exchange that is the most important exchange of your Christian walk. Want to know what that is? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni. Which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, I don't care. She said, Mary. She responded, master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along on your journey, Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love. Your eternal life functions in ways you and I cannot even fathom. Chosen before the foundation of the earth? I don't know. I mean, how do you do it? I don't understand because I'm a finite person. I believe it. I just don't understand it in its fullness. I have to make the choice, but God chooses me. Should be held in a perfect tension. It's not only God chooses. You have to say yes. You have to respond. But I want to say yes, and it's built into me. So he built it into me, but I still have to respond. It's that partnership part. You know, the word of God is written in a partnership. It was the Lord using his people to communicate his message to his creation. And when Jesus said to Mary, Mary, and she got it, and said, Master, that was it. Changed the rest of her life. And there's some of you out there, and you know he's done this. You know he's called your name. And you even responded, yes, yes, Master, yes, Lord, yes, Savior, yes, Messiah. But you've kind of, you know, turned a little the wrong direction. He's still calling your name. Even now. Even right now, in this moment, at this time, he's still calling you. He still wants to fellowship with you. There's a wonderful passage in Revelation where Jesus in chapter 3 talks about him and the Father fellowshipping with you. Open up the door of your heart. And what they use this as a text for people to get saved. And I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. But, you know, the text was written to the church, to the people of God. And you might be one of those people of God, long lost. Maybe you got burned in a church. I was burned in a church. It turned out to be a Christian-styled cult. I mean, how bad is that? It's kind of a Jim Jones thing. It's like, that's terrible. Right, it is terrible. But that is not representative of who God is. And maybe you got hurt in a church. Maybe somebody hurt you. And I'm sorry for that. And I kind of wish that it never happened to anybody. But I also kind of wish that Adam never sinned in the first place. So we wouldn't be going through a lot of this mess. But you know what? It's not a good enough excuse to separate from the kingdom of God. And he's still knocking on the door of your heart saying, come back. Come here. And you can't say no. He loves you so much and you know it. Just ask him to help you. I mean, you're not talking about making this complex. Just right now, just say, Lord, I love you, but I don't get it, and I'm hurt, and please help me. That is all you got to pray. You got to make the long, elaborate prayer. For those of you that have never made that decision, even now, Jesus calling your name, Bob, Frank,
Mary, Betty, Sylvia. God calling your name right now. And you can ignore him, or you can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, my King. He's calling your name. Do not ignore him. He's calling you to a relationship that you've never had, or a relationship that you've had and you've walked away from some. He's still there, waiting for you to come back. Come back. Don't get bitter, or don't let the bitter hurt you in such a way as to miss the grace of God. He's got mercy and grace for you. It's right there. No, everything won't be perfect. No, you won't have every single answer you've ever wondered. You're not going to have all that answered in a moment. But you will have restored or established the most important relationship of your existence. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ and his redeeming work that's strengthened by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more important than that. You can tell me all the excuses you want. And I've heard a lot of them. But the most blockage comes from the fear. Well, he might change my life. He might disrupt things. It might not be so simple. Yeah, and you might reject him and go to hell. That's not a good solution either, is it? If you've never said yes to Jesus, all you have to do, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. I give you my heart. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth that you died for my sins. You were buried and you rose again. And I ask you to teach me and guide me, and I thank you for this new life. That's all you got to say. You don't have to be a genius prayer. You just have to pray and ask God to help. It's not fancy. You don't need a robe. You need to open your mouth and ask for help. And there, the Lord will be there. And he'll answer you. And for those that know he's there, but you've been away, cut it out. Come back home, brother. Come back home, sister, where you belong. Right? All right. I love you guys. Just my favorite text. Is that a great text or what? Just so good. I love it. All right, tomorrow, expository Ephesians, so you might as well just get ready for it, because that's what's going to happen. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.